you'll take your scriptures in hand and turn with me to Luke chapter.
We are so glad to have you here with us today.
We're going to have a replay. Amen. Deja vu. All right, if you'll take your scriptures in hand and turn with me to Luke chapter 14, we're going to be reading verses 15 through 24 in just a moment. We're continuing our vision series for 2022. It's called Full House, and today's message is titled God's Dream House. God's Dream House. I love to watch HGTV. Anybody else like HGTV? Amen. A lot of people like HGTV. And it's interesting to watch and hear folks talk when they're in the process of buying a new house and as they anticipate getting this new home, their dream home, they talk about the kind of kitchen and bathroom and patio or pool that they want, and they envision how it will be decorated, the color of paint, the type of flooring, the furniture that they'll have, and they even visualize the gathering of friends and family members that they can have in the new property. They can see beyond the house that they're viewing to the home that they want to live in, the home of their dreams. Amen. How many of you understand what I'm saying, right? And as I thought about all of these people in pursuit of their dream home, and I was preparing this series, it prompted me to think about, what is God's dream house? What is God's dream house? And as we're in our annual vision series, the theme that God placed on my heart for this year is Full House, and it's based on the words of Jesus in Luke 14:23, where he tells his servants to go out into the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house may be full. Amen. And we've been looking at the heart of God and how he desires anybody, no matter how far from him they might be. That's what's represented by the far places, the country places. No matter how far from him they may be, he desires them to come to salvation so that his house might be full. And as I was praying and reflecting on the words of Jesus, that my house may be full, we've obviously seen that God wants his house full of people who accept the invitation of grace to come to Jesus as their Savior and to become a part of God's family. But God tells us much more about his dream house in Ephesians 2, verses 19 through 22. I'm going to read that with you as you read along right now. It says, "So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners." See, the Gentiles were considered the ones that were far away before, the ones that he was sending into the highways and byways. The Jews saw the Gentiles as far away from God. They didn't think they could be saved. But he says, "So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are his house. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling." What's a dwelling? It's a place where you live, a house where you live, right? So he says, "Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling, his house, where God lives by his Spirit." So this scripture tells us that God is building his house, his dream house. He's building us, his family, into a house that he can be at home in. Not a building, not a physical structure, but a people inhabited by his Spirit and fulfilling his purpose. That's the house God is building. And as we celebrate the 30th anniversary of our church, I can hardly believe it. I was just an infant when we started. Don't try to calculate my age. Amen. Forever 21. But as we celebrate the 30th anniversary of our church, I think we need to reflect on and evaluate, are we God's dream house? Amen. Are we the people God wants to live in, that God wants to dwell among and inhabit? And it prompts us to stop and ask, just what is God's dream house? In his heart and mind, what is the church, the temple, the house, the dwelling place that he sees? When he looks beyond what is his church to what he desires his church to be? And as I prayed about this question, I believe God started to place on my heart three traits that characterize the dream house that he is building. The dream house that he is building. And I pray that it will be the kind, that we will be the kind of house that God desires to dwell in. Amen. But the first thing I believe God impressed on my heart is that his dream house is a house full of prayer. Amen. A house full of prayer. Matthew 21:13, he said to them, the scriptures declare, my temple will be called a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves. They had turned it into a place of merchandise, of profiteering, selling sacrifices and changing money. But he said it was supposed to be a house of prayer. God's desire is that his house, his people, that's us. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's us. Now turn to the other side and say, that's us. All right. God desires for us, his church, his people, to be a people of prayer. I just referenced Matthew 21:12-13, where Jesus came into the temple, but it was not his dream house. It was not the kind of house that God wanted to dwell in. The scripture tells us Jesus became angry because he found them buying and selling sacrifices and changing money at high interest rate. And so he drove them out. And he said in verse 13, it is written, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. You know, the amazing thing is it seemed like the Jews, like the people, were worshiping God. Why? Because a lot of sacrifices were being made in the temple, but their worship had become a mere outward religious formality. Two words characterize their worship: consumerism and convenience. They were consumers in that they came and bought animals to sacrifice to God. Now, according to the Old Testament scripture, they were supposed to select from their own flock an animal that was without blemish. And when they came to Jerusalem to worship, they were supposed to bring it with them because it was supposed to be personal. It was supposed to be offering from their own heart. But you know what? Traveling all that distance, carrying an animal or walking along with an animal, that was difficult. That was hard. So it's just so much easier if we show up and we just buy it right there, right? You don't have to put any energy into it. You didn't have to raise that animal from the time that it was small. You didn't have to feed it. You didn't have to take care of it. You didn't have to lead it out to pasture and lead it back in. You didn't have to carry it all the way with you to Jerusalem. You just come, you buy one, you offer it to God, and there you are on your way. Amen? They didn't have to take the time to select the very best animal without blemish to give God the very best that they had. So they just bought their sacrifices. But you know, when you buy your sacrifice right there, then it's no longer personal. It's just convenient. It's just convenient. They didn't have to participate in the raising of that animal, so they didn't have to participate in worship. Because even the raising of that animal was worship from the time that they were back at home. But they didn't have to participate. They just showed up, bought a sacrifice, handed it over to the priest, and offered it up to God. It was just more convenient to buy the sacrifice when you got there. And I want to ask us a question. Do we practice a religion of consumerism and convenience? Not us, not any of us. I know we're talking about folks at the church down the street, but you know, just ask the question. Instead of ministering or participating in ministry, do we just come with a consumerism mentality to receive ministry, to be ministered to? In what way have we invested our time before getting here to ensure that God's presence will be made manifest? In what way have we worked and given of ourselves to participate in the worship that is being offered in this house? Have we prayed for the services? Have we searched and prepared our hearts to enter into God's presence before we ever arrived here to make sure that our hearts are without blemish? Do we bring the sacrifices of praise and worship with us? Or do we just rush into the service and hope someone else strived and someone else prayed so that the worship will be anointed and make us feel God for a few moments? You know, before people buy a house, they generally have a house inspection. How many of you had a house inspection if you bought a house? Amen? You want to make sure that there are no problems there before you close on the deal. And maybe we need a self-inspection. If we're God's house, we need a self-inspection. We need to ask ourselves, are we the kind of house that God desires to dwell in? And say, God, show me. You know, just like when you have the house inspection, you're looking for stuff that's hidden behind the walls or in the foundation being cracked or something. You're looking for stuff that may be not obvious to the eyes, right? And so we say, God, show me if there's something that's not obvious to me in my life that's not right. And when he does, we humble ourselves, we repent, and we say, Lord, forgive me. And that's not a one-time thing. That's a daily thing, right? Because the Bible tells us we all sin in many ways. Amen. All the time, you know. Somebody cuts us off in traffic, and before you know it, the temperature goes up. Amen. We don't want to be like the guy that got cut off in traffic on I-95. And he gave the guy that cut him off a finger. And when he showed up in church, the guy was a drummer in the church. Amen. Don't want to be like that. Amen. Come on now. I know none of you would ever do that. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. But you know what? There's so many opportunities to sin every single day, just with a thought or with an attitude. Or I was in a conversation with a couple of people outside of the church, not church people, outside the church the other day, and it just grieved my spirit because one of them was speaking very derogatorily of a particular ethnic group. And it just grieved my heart, you know, and yet I know that even though they were not saved, there are Christian people that hold similar attitudes. Not anybody here that I'm aware of, I pray. But sometimes we hold those kind of attitudes where we look down on somebody else that's not like us. We may not vocalize it, but is it hidden? Behind the walls of our heart, like there can be problems behind the walls of your house? Is it hidden? You know, so there's so many things in our life that we need to regularly search our heart and say, God, show me. And when he does, say, God, forgive me, I repent. And we say, God, change me, I don't want to be that way anymore. But we need to be doing that continually so that when we come to the house of the Lord, the Bible says that we are to lift up clean hands and that we are to worship with a pure heart. That's the kind of worship that's pleasing to God. You can't just pull that out of the hat when you get here on a Sunday morning. You know, that's something that has to be ongoing in our life. And God's desires and my prayer is that we would not just be another church on a street corner, but that we would truly be a house of God. That we would truly be a place that God chooses to dwell in, a place where God's heart is, a place where God is at home in our midst. You know, because not being judgmental, but just because a church is big and has a lot of stuff going on doesn't mean that it's God's house. In fact, I wonder if he walked into some churches today, if he would do what he did when he walked into the temple. And he said, my house is supposed to be a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. You've made it a business, wow, a place of profiteering. You have merchandised the anointing.
Wow.
You know, and everybody nowadays, they've got a book to sell, and they've got, you know, a webinar to sign up for, and, you know, and I'm not necessarily saying something's wrong like that with that if you're keeping the priorities right. But I want to be, I want new life to be. I pray that new life is and will be a place where God chooses to dwell. A place where God's heart is. That we will be a house of prayer, a place where people come in and they connect with God. It was so wonderful a week ago talking to somebody who had visited our service, and they said, I don't know why it is, but I was just crying the whole service through. And I just felt something I'd never felt before. Well, what is that? That's God. That's the presence of God. Amen. And I want that to always happen when we gather, that people will encounter the presence of God here. And that's why we put such an emphasis on prayer. We pray before the service. We open our services in prayer. We pray during the service for those that are sick and in need. We spend time in God's presence, because prayer is not just asking, but prayer is encountering and connecting with God. So we spend time like we did earlier, just waiting in God's presence. It's why we have regular altar calls, calling people to respond to the Word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit. It's why we have a healing prayer ministry that intercedes for people that are in need of healing and deliverance. We have online prayer times on Tuesdays. We have church prayer campaigns like we did in January, 21 days of fasting and prayer. And we do these kinds of things regularly to emphasize the priority that we are to be a house of prayer. I was so encouraged a couple years ago when I was conducting a healing prayer ministry workshop at Christian Life Center, our sister church in Fort Lauderdale. And after the worship, a group of people came up to me as I was on my way to the car, and they said, we've heard of your church. Is it located? And they described our location, Pines and University. I said, yes. And they said, we've heard that that church is a praying church. Oh, that was one of the best things anybody could have said. That just encouraged my heart so much, that we have a reputation in the community that we are a praying church. Amen? Because Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. But when we ask the question, are we a praying church? It extends beyond what we're doing as a church to what we are doing individually, because we make up the church. Amen? And I'm going to read again Ephesians 2, 21 through 22, but this time I'm reading it from the Message version for clarity. So listen to what God is saying. It says, God is building a home. He's using us all, irrespective of how we got here, in what he's building. He used the apostles and prophets for the foundation. Now he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God. All of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. Did you hear that? Each of us are the stones that God is using to build his house. That means you and me. We are the building material.
Amen.
That God is using to build his house. So it's not somebody else. He's not talking about somebody else. And he's not talking about just the pastor or an associate pastor or the leaders of the church. But it's you and it's me. And if his house is to be a house of prayer, we need to ask, how is my prayer life? Now turn to your neighbor and say, how's your prayer life?
How's your prayer life?
Now turn to your other neighbor and say, how's your prayer life?
How's your prayer life?
Amen. And we need to ask ourselves, am I praying daily? You don't have to answer out loud, but you can say amen or oh me inside. Am I praying daily? Am I seeking a deeper relationship with God? We need to ask, am I regularly praying for the ministries and leaders of my church? Am I praying for lives to be changed in the community? Am I praying for the kingdom of God to be advanced in Pembroke Pines and South Broward, the surrounding area?
Yes.
Am I regularly praying for God to pour out his spirit on our church? Do I come to church having already prayed for the services? And before I came to church, have I been praying that God would use me in the gifts of the Spirit and in other ministries to the church body?
Amen.
We need to ask, am I a person of prayer? Because God's temple is not a building made with men's hands. It is a building that is being built, not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit. And his Spirit comes in response to our prayers. His Spirit is poured out. If you don't believe me that his Spirit is poured out in response to prayer, just read the book of Acts. Every chapter in the book of Acts, the church is either praying or it mentions prayer, and the Spirit of God was being poured out in a mighty way. And prayer is a matter of the condition of our heart. When we love someone, we delight to spend time with them and talk to them. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
If prayer is not central to our life, then we need to check our heart. We need to check our love relationship with God, because prayer is not a duty. Prayer is all about relationship. Amen? In fact, in Revelation chapter 2, Christ had a message for a church that was busily working for him, and they didn't tolerate evil or false doctrine. They rejected false teachers. They had so much good stuff going on. But then he said, I have a serious complaint against you. Do you know what that complaint was? You have lost, yes, somebody's got it. You have lost your first love. And he said, repent and do again your first works. What is first love? It's that passionate, fervent, all-consuming love that you had when you first came to Christ. I love what someone once said. They said, if you are, if you're not as close to God today as you ever was, then you're backslidden.
Wow.
Now, just think of a couple that falls in love and they can't wait to be with each other, right? They talk for hours and the time just flies by, and the minute they separate, they're calling each other on the phone, or nowadays maybe they're texting, I'm not sure. But you know, they're communicating with each other, right? And that's what prayer is like when we're in love with Jesus. We delight to be in his presence. We spend time in his presence, and then when we can't spend that dedicated time with him, we're talking to him all day long. We're talking to him when we're driving down the road. We're talking to him at work when we go to the restroom. Amen. I talk to God everywhere. Amen. But let me ask you, if we don't delight to be in his presence,
yes,
if we don't enjoy spending time talking to him in prayer, then we have to say, have I lost my first love?
Wow.
And then we need to do what Jesus said. We need to repent, and we need to say, Lord, renew my heart and reignite the passion of my love for you. Amen. God's dream house is a house of prayer. So that means we each need to be a person of prayer. Let's be a people of prayer so that he will dwell among us by his Spirit. Secondly, I believe the Lord impressed on my heart that his dream house is a house that's full of his presence.
Amen.
God's dream house is a house that's full of prayer, and I believe the result of that is it'll be full of his presence. Amen. God's dream house is a house filled with the Spirit. In Ephesians 2:22, we read that we are each being made part of the dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. And that's vitally connected to our prayer life. If you remember, some of you might, the story in Exodus chapter 33, where the presence of God had withdrawn from Israel because they had sinned against God. And in judgment, God said, I'll still take you up to the promised land. I'll send an angel with you, but I will not go with you. And Moses was not going to accept the promise without the promise keeper, without the presence. And so in Exodus 33:7, we read that Moses set up a tent of meeting far outside the camp, and he and anybody else who sought the Lord would go out to that tent of meeting daily to seek the Lord. And in that chapter in verses 8 and 10, it says, whenever Moses went out to the tent of meeting, God's presence in the form of a pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the door of the temple, and God would talk to Moses as the people watched from afar, and they would see the cloud of God's presence, and they would worship the Lord. Even those that stood from afar and watched and saw the presence of God, they were affected by the presence of God that came down in that tent. When the presence of God is in the midst of his church, even those who are far from God will recognize it, and their hearts will be drawn to him. When God, yes, amen, hallelujah. When God's presence is in the midst of his people, those around will take note, and it will change their lives. Hallelujah. In verses 15 and 16, it says, Moses pleaded with God, saying, do not take us up from this place, from this wilderness, unless your presence goes with us. Because how will anyone know that we are your people unless your presence goes with us? Amen. Folks, the single distinguishing factor that sets us apart from any other group, any other organization in the world is God's Spirit in us. Hallelujah. Without his presence, the church is just a social club, a business, or a motivational meeting. But it's not his church. It's not his church. Because of Moses' prayer and those who went with him daily to the tent of meeting, the presence of God was restored to his people. And the people from afar saw his presence and worshiped him. Now I want to ask you, do you want your unsaved husbands, wives, sons, daughters, family, friends, and loved ones to know God? Well, then we have to be a people of his presence. Because when they see the presence of God in us and on us, it's going to draw them to him. When God's presence is manifested among us, even those that are standing from afar will see, and their lives will be changed. Hallelujah. God's dream house is a house where the Spirit is manifested. In a prophecy concerning the coming of Jesus, and Jesus quoted this prophecy in reference to himself in the synagogue in Nazareth, the scripture says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison doors to those that are bound. This scripture Jesus quoted referencing his own ministry and how God anointed him to heal the sick and to cast out demons and to preach the gospel. And I want you to know the same Spirit, turn to your neighbor and say the same Spirit. Same Spirit. Turn to your other neighbor and say the same Spirit. Same Spirit. The same Spirit that anointed Jesus has been poured out on us, his church, to continue his ministry, his way in the world. Hallelujah. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit to spread the good news, the message of Jesus to those who are poor and downcast, not just monetarily poor, but they're spiritually bankrupt, because without God, you are spiritually bankrupt. He has anointed us to preach the gospel to those who are poor and downcast, that they might find salvation and hope in Christ. He has anointed us to minister healing to the sick. He has anointed us to minister deliverance to those who are oppressed and bound. He has anointed us to minister freedom to those that are addicted to drugs and alcohol and immoral lifestyles. He has anointed us to minister healing to those that are sick. This is the heart of God for his house. This is what will be taking place in his dream house. And that doesn't mean just when we're here, but you know what? His anointing is with you when you're at work. And you can pray for somebody for healing at work. And somebody is complaining about something going on in their life, just say, can I pray for you right now?
Yes, yes.
And you know what? You want to pray with them right then and there so that they can hear their request presented before God, so that when the answer comes, they'll give glory to God. Amen? You can pray for somebody in the grocery store. I do it. I'll be in the checkout line, and I'll see somebody that maybe their hand is in a brace, or they're having pain and difficulty unloading their cart. Usually I'll offer to help them, and afterward I'll say, can I pray for you? I'll do it for people that are checking me out. I was at Home Depot once. You could see the lady had something that was distressing her, and there wasn't anybody around, so I asked her, and she shared what was going on with her, and I said right there, I said, can I pray for you? You see, wherever you are, that anointing is flowing. And God wants us to minister. God's heart is not it just in programs and activities, even though those are good and there's a place for them. But God's heart is about reaching the lost. It's about touching lives. It's about setting free the oppressed. It's about healing and restoring broken lives so that they will come to know Him and worship Him. And that's what God does when He is in our midst. When He's filling our lives, He wants to use every one of us in that way. I pray that we will be a church filled with His Spirit, where the gifts of the Spirit are in manifestation on a regular basis, even as we had today. But not just through me and through a select few, through all of us. And not just when we're here, but when we're out there. Amen? Hallelujah. Thirdly, God's dream house is a house that fulfills His purpose. Amen. You know, when you buy a house, you buy a house that will fulfill your purpose, right? Yes. Some men, when they're buying a house, they're looking for a house that has a two-car garage so they can set up a workshop because they do woodworking or whatever it might be, right? Some ladies, they love to cook. So even some men love to cook. So their first priority is that they're going to have a big kitchen. You know, you look for a house that fulfills your purpose, right? And God is building a house that fulfills His purpose. God's desire is that we would fulfill His saving purpose in the world. We've been looking over the past couple of weeks at the parable of the great feast. A master who had given a big supper and sent his servants out to call the invited guests. And when the time came, they all gave excuses why they couldn't come. And he sent his servants out in the streets to invite the poor, the blind, the lame. But there was still room, so he sent them out into the highways and byways to urge or compel anyone who would to come in. And God's house or temple is not a building. It's a people. We are His temple, and we are mobile temples.
Go ahead, Pastor.
We are mobile temples because we move about and carry His Spirit with us, or at least we ought to be carrying His Spirit with us wherever we go. Amen. He's sending us out into the streets of our city to reach those who do not know Him and invite them to come in. God's vision for New Life, our vision statement that God has given us, is that we would not be a church contained within walls, but that we would be reaching into every sector of our community with the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit to make fully devoted followers of Christ who love God, love one another, love to serve, and love the lost. But did you hear that? A church not contained within walls, because the church is not a building.
That's right.
It's a people. We gather together to be ministered to be equipped, to be encouraged, and then we are unleashed on the world.
Amen.
As His mobile temples. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, and He said, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. This is our purpose, and we have not yet completed our purpose. You know why? 95% of the people, over 1.5 million people living within 5 miles of this church, are unchurched.
Right.
They don't know Christ. So that tells me we've not finished His purpose yet. Amen? We got a whole lot of work left to do. And I want to encourage you to always, last week we talked about being a bringer, right? Always be inviting and bringing people to church. And then we're going to be starting, effective the first Saturday in April, we're going to be starting Saturate Saturdays, where we're going to be saturating the neighborhoods surrounding our church with invitations. And our evangelism team is inviting anybody in the church who wants to go out with them. to come. They'll pair you up with somebody from the evangelism ministry and take you out to put invite cards and door hangers on doors. You don't have to talk to anybody if you're not comfortable yet doing that, but you'll be with someone from the evangelism ministry if there's an opportunity to engage in conversation. But if you can put a piece of paper on somebody's door, you can go out and be a bringer. Amen? You can invite somebody. So listen for that announcement. We'll be reminding you about it, and let's act on God's word. Because the Bible says that we are not to be just hearers of the word only, but we are to be doers. If we listen to this message, say amen and shout and walk out of here and forget what we've heard, then it is of no use. Amen? We need to put into practice what we hear. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He's sending us to do the same. This is our purpose. This is our purpose. That kind of house that God wants to live in is a house that is actively fulfilling his purpose. And when we're actively fulfilling his purpose, then his kingdom table is going to be full, and this house is going to be full. Amen. For his glory and honor. He wants his house to be filled to capacity with broken and hurting people who can come in and encounter his love, and they can find salvation, and they can be healed and restored. Amen. So I want to ask you, are we God's house, or are we just a church? Are we truly God's temple, a place that God chooses to dwell in, a place he delights to stay, a place he's at home in? Not this building, but you and me. Are we a people of prayer? Are we a people of his presence, filled with his spirit, operating in the power of his Holy Spirit to go out and reach the lost, minister healing, let the gifts of the Spirit flow through us? Are we a people that are dedicated to his purpose? Are we living on mission? Because your full-time job is not what earns you a paycheck. That's just what, just like Paul was a tent maker when he had to make a living. That's just a way you make a living. But your full-time job is what Jesus is calling us to do, to reach the lost. Wherever you go, that's your full-time job.
Amen.
That's your full-time job. So are you dedicated to his purpose? And of course, the first step to becoming a person that God desires to make his home in is to accept his invitation today to receive him as your Lord and Savior, to ask him to forgive you of your sins and begin a wonderful lifelong relationship with him. And that starts when we place our faith in Jesus as our Savior, who died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. And we repent of our sins. We turn away from our sin and say, I don't want to live that way anymore. Forgive me. I turn to you. I want to live for you. That's the way that we get saved or born again and begin a brand new relationship with God. And if you're here today and you have not yet placed your faith in Christ, repented of your sin, and prayed to receive him as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to do so in just a couple of seconds. Or maybe you prayed that prayer some time ago and you've drifted away, but you can feel the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart, saying that you need to come back. I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I believe that you love me so much that you died for my sins. Today, I confess that I'm a sinner. I repent. I turn away from my sinful life, and I turn to you in faith. I invite you to come live inside of me, forgive me of all of my sins, and help me from this day forward to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, I want to be the first to congratulate you on making the best decision of your life, and welcome to the family of God. I want to ask you right now, if you prayed that prayer, if you would just text I prayed to the number on the screen, or online type I prayed in the comments. Why? Because the prayer you just prayed is a beginning, not an end. It is the start of a lifelong relationship with God, and we want to help you to grow in your relationship with the Lord. So we want to send you free of charge a little e-booklet that will help you understand the prayer you just prayed and the next steps that you need to take to continue to grow in your relationship with the Lord. we want to send that to you free of charge, but to do so, we need your email address. So we're going to ask you right now, if you're in-house and you prayed that prayer, just text I prayed to the number on the screen or online, type I prayed in the comments. A little later today, you'll get a response message. Click on the link in that message, fill in your name and email address, and we will send you free of charge this little e-booklet. But in the meantime, just three things that we want to encourage you to do and that every Christian should be doing on a daily basis to grow in our faith. One, talk to God every day. That's prayer. Start with thanksgiving. Thank him for all the good things in your life, because every good thing comes from him. And then talk to him about whatever problems or needs or decisions that you're making and ask his help. That's prayer. That's a very basic form of prayer. Secondly, let God talk to you every day. How does God talk to us? The number one way is through the Bible. That's his word, his message to us. If you don't have a Bible, you can download the YouVersion app for free on your phone or tablet. There's never a charge. You can read as much as you want. Start reading in 1 John and just read a few verses, 5 or 6 verses every day. Before you read, ask God to help you understand what you're reading and how it applies to your life. Do that every day. Thirdly, get connected to a local Assembly of God church. If you're here in South Florida, of course, I encourage you to be a part of our church family. We have a wonderful, loving, and supportive church family. If you're outside of this area, then we encourage you to find an Assembly of God church near you and get connected there. But once again, congratulations, and we welcome you to the family of God. Amen. Yes, give them a big hand of welcome. For those of us who've already placed our faith in Christ, he's calling us to be his temple, his house, his dwelling place by his Spirit, a people of prayer, a people of his presence, and a people of his purpose. He wants to empower us by the Spirit to preach the gospel, to share the good news, to bring supernatural healing and deliverance to people in our community, and to fulfill his purpose to seek and to save the lost. And he asks today, will you answer his call? And will you commit yourself to be a praying people, a people of prayer, at home daily, even as in his church? Will you pray daily for our church, our leaders, our community, for the purpose of God, for lost souls? Will you seek to be full of the Spirit so that you can fulfill his purpose with supernatural anointing to reach the lost and see lives healed and delivered? If it is your desire to be God's dream house, would you stand to your feet? Just stand to your feet here and at home. And let's commit ourselves to be a people of prayer, a people of his presence, and a people of his purpose. Lift your voice to the Lord and make your own commitment to him as I pray over us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all of these who are standing before your presence this morning. And they're saying, Lord, yes, we have heard the call of your word. And Lord, we want to be the dream house that you're building, a holy habitation for your Spirit. As we stand before you, we commit ourselves to be a people of prayer, to pray not just when we come to your house, but to pray daily, to spend time with you, to seek your face, to seek your will, Lord God, to pray for our church, for our leaders, for our community, for our missionaries, for the people around us every day, Lord God, for opportunities to share the gospel, to pray to be empowered by your Spirit that you might use us in ministry, Lord God, and to pray for your kingdom purpose to be fulfilled, that many souls will be brought into your kingdom. Father, we pray that your Spirit and your word would continue to work in us even after we've left this place, so that we will not be hearers of your word only, but that we will be doers of your word. Remind us of this commitment that we make, and may we daily spend time in your presence seeking your power and your purpose in our lives. Glorify yourself, we pray, in Jesus' name.